ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and some things you can do. I'm a veterinarian with a special interest in behavior, and have been helping people with their pets for over 30 years. My hope is to help you with your own interspecies relationships.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving, and do I have a treat for you? I had a conversation with Dr. Craig Smith about diets for cats. But first, here is this episode's bonus question. This bonus question is about cats, and you may want to dust off your calculator. Are you ready? As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. Every wife had 7 sacks. Every sack had 7 cats. Every cat had 7 kits. Kits, cats, sacks, wives. How many were going to St. Ives? Stay tuned for the end for the answer.
This is Dr. Louisa, and I'm here today with Dr. Craig Smith, who has a feline veterinary hospital in Fircrest.
Right.
Hi, Dr. Smith.
Hello, Dr. Beal. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
It's all
good
fun.
To be here. Yeah, good to be here. Yeah.
So I have taken several of my cats to you. My sisters have taken several of their cats to
yes,
you. So I'm quite familiar with your practice.
Yep.
And one of the things that we've talked about in the past is diets for cats.
Right.
Because that can be very confusing.
You know,
people say, oh, I have a dog and I have a cat, and then we feed them this.
Right. This is a very difficult time for people with animals. And because you missed it earlier, I will say I'm from Tacoma Cat Hospital. That's even though we're in Fircrest. We did start in Tacoma, but contract disputes led us to Fircrest. So nicer parking, quieter neighborhood. Everything's fine. But that's the location of our office. But you're right. This is a very difficult time, especially from the aspect of actually mainly from the aspect of food for dogs, cats, in some cases, chickens. But because there are too many options and everybody's on social media. And what happens when your device finds out that you have a cat or a dog? Mm. Well, all of a sudden now, you've got all kinds of stuff in your feed that tells you.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that was good. Yeah, it was an accident. Yeah. Maybe it should have been an intended pun. Yeah, there are all kinds of things in your little social media feed that do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. Not to say that these things are bad, but they are confusing to people. Because what do people want? They want one thing. Mm-hmm. They want to take good care of their animal. Right?
Right, right.
They want to feed the best thing that they can afford that fits in their budget because they want their animal to be healthy. We all do. So it's the thing in our profession. We are sometimes our own worst enemies, right? What's the best way to get rid of business? Feed your animal better.
Yeah.
And then you don't need to come see the veterinarian very often.
Yes, yes.
So it's,
in fact, it's interesting. I was doing a vaccine clinic this morning with Dr. Casey Keim.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know
him.
Yeah,
I know him. Yeah.
But he was saying that I put myself out of business because I started with all the black labs that have the ear problems. I started to put them on a different diet and all the ear problems went away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it is one of those things, but that's what we do. That's what our profession does. And I don't think it's a problem. We are good sources of information. Even some of the more fringy members of our profession are still good sources of information because we have the same goal. We want the animal to be healthy. We want it to not have any medical conditions. So here are some foods. Try these out. See if they like it. Because, you know, especially in the cat world, today we're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, not so much.
Right.
Right.
I get that way sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, sometimes for me.
So again, you know, it's like, it seems to me that having either a dog or a cat on one food, one brand of food, one type of food is not necessarily a good thing.
Well, it's hard to say from the dog perspective, because I don't cover that. However, in the cat world, we are now being instructed by our nutritional superiors, who we respect and we admire. Once you find a diet, a brand, a flavor, whatever, that the cat likes, never, ever change it unless there's a medical reason to do so. And when that first came out, especially as older doctors are thinking, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because I'm an older doctor.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder about that.
Yeah, you know, you want to give the cat 1 week of this and another week of that, and you want to have an enjoyable life. But what they found out is the cat, at least the cat digestive tract, and I can't speak to the dog because I don't keep up with that. But to the cat digestive tract, it is designed for the same thing day after day after day after day. Mm. I had one piece of personal experience. I had this wonderful little cat, this little tortoiseshell evil thing. it came to me when Jurassic Park was first published. So you know how old I am. And it was just this horrendous creature. And so my wife and I named it the Velocikitty after the Velociraptor in Jurassic Park. And she was just this horrid creature. But she grew up to be a fine cat. And she would sleep in the crook of my arm every night. But she would only eat one thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because my other cats, I would be a little more creative because at that time I wasn't aware that cats needed the same thing all the time. And the frustrating thing was when, as she got older, she developed a medical condition in her liver, and she needed a different diet.
Ooh, ouch.
Yes. Guess what happened?
Yeah, she stopped eating.
She stopped eating, and she died. Yep. You know, and that was a very, very blunt situation for me and my wife because we had come to really adore this cat. I even brought her into my office because my staff are much more skilled at these sort of things than I am. Mm. And she lived in our office for almost 6 months as my staff continually tried to get her to take foods that would have helped her. And she absolutely refused. So that's a very, very dramatic example. But overall, since this advice that I'm talking about that we've received from our nutritional scientific community is only about 10 years old, maybe 15 on the outside. And we have been, I wouldn't say pushing it, but we've been certainly promoting it. And even only a decade into it, it's clear that they're on the right track.
Oh, good.
So it is nice. And so once we talk to people and we tell them, we know you want to be creative. Mm-hmm. We know you do. We all do. But it's just not good for the cat. There is still some wiggle room. For instance, when we talk about canned versus dry.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The classic cat should be eating more canned than dry, but a lot of them prefer the crunch, right? Mm-hmm. They love that.
Yeah.
Love that sound. And
it's like bones.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're out there killing something. Yeah. So once you find a good dry food, that's the one you want to really be brutal about never changing. Mm-hmm. But the canned food, yeah. In my home, we have chicken products, we have salmon products, we have turkey products, we have beef products. We have them all. We kind of play around, and our cats all have different preferences. We have one cat that loves her salmon, and now that she's on thyroid medication, she gets one salmon meal a day because that's the only way I can get the drug into her.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's there is wiggle room there where you can be a little more creative with the canned product and still keep the animal healthy.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I would tell my clients, you know, who have new kittens and, oh, aren't they cute and all this kind of stuff. I say introduce them to canned food.
Yes.
At this age.
Yes.
So that they know what it is and they love it. Even if you don't feed it for the rest of their life, if you ever have to medicate them,
right,
it's going to be a lot easier.
Right. And as they age, also, the aging cat and dog, all the aging animals, and probably us people too. Sorry. We should be eating more canned food. So the aging animal just has a higher water requirement, right?
Oh, sure.
And so if you can get them to like canned food, because that's really what canned food mostly is. If you read that label, you'll see that you are spending your $2.50 on a product that is 78% water. So it's, yeah, you feel ripped off. But
water's life.
Water is life. And many of these aging animals especially are not good drinkers. So the best way to get water into them, spend the money.
Yep.
No more lattes for you, but your cat can have canned food.
I think that's a good trade.
Yeah, yeah. It's healthier for you, too.
Yeah. So, it's like I have a cat that I kind of inherited.
Yeah.
And I think he's 16 now. But he never liked canned food, never wanted it.
Right.
And so, he's on dry food. And so I have to get kind of creative. And what I discovered is that he loves deli turkey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any particular deli?
I don't think so.
Okay. Equal opportunity. Yeah. If it's a deli, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Even the stuff that comes wrapped in plastic.
Awesome.
Yeah, the old sandwich stuff. And the other thing that I found, because he didn't want treats, regular cat treats.
Sure.
The only thing I've found is one hairball treat. It's for indoor cats.
Yeah.
And it's for hairballs. And for him, it's been a lifesaver.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And a carpet saver.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't barf up on the carpet.
Oh, that's always a bonus. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's like I learned a lot from him as far as adjusting diet, both for his health and for his needs.
Right. And we get this question a lot about cat treats because, again, the aging cat becomes, and I hope your listeners don't mind, we are mostly cats today.
It's cat day. See,
it is. Okay.
Usually I do dogs. So this is very special.
You can tell all your friends with cats because you know who they are and they're all crazy. Yes. those of us who do cats are all crazy.
Yep.
The thing, we get this question where, my older cat only wants to eat treats. she won't eat food anymore. And people are wringing their hands about it. Well, it's fine. Yes, they are not quite as nutritionally balanced as the diets are, but they're pretty darn close.
Yeah, if you read the labels, it's still got the protein and the fats.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, most of them have a higher moisture content than your standard dry food.
Yeah.
So tell your friends, or if you have a cat yourself and she just wants to eat treats, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're not hurting the animal.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And again, it's kind of the situation. It's like, well, then if they stop eating, with your cat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's been our motto for the longest time in our little cat hospital. All of the medical staff believes the same thing. It's better that they eat than that they eat right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Yep. So, no, I agree with that, too, without bringing people into this.
Right. we don't want to go there.
Yeah,
we're all old. We're all heavy. We're all eating badly.
Things that we shouldn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they taste so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, since we're talking about cats and dry food, and I don't know if they make Meow Mix still.
Yeah. You can still get Meow Mix as a dry product.
Okay. Because this was... Oh my gosh, this was before I was in vet school. This is how long ago it was.
Wow.
Okay.
They actually had cat food in those days?
They did.
Amazing.
My gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's how old Meow Mix is.
Yeah, really? No kidding.
Anyway, so we were, short on funds. And so, we got Meow Mix for our cat. And she was fine with it. She really, really liked it. And then one time we had to leave overnight. Okay. And so we put her food down. And I can't remember if we put something else beside the Meow Mix. But anyway, we had a new bag of that we put up in the a cupboard.
Okay.
In a closet.
Yeah.
And we came home. She had opened the closet, gone up, crawled up there, broken open the bag of Meow Mix.
Oh, yeah.
And eaten that instead of the other stuff.
And the good stuff, right?
And yeah. I wondered, can cats get addictions like
that? We think so. Because we have a lot of clients who tell us very similar stories. And my wife actually does the same thing. She keeps a bag of either Meow Mix or Friskies or some like kind of a medium tier food.
Mm-hmm.
And she just keeps it on the floor in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And our cats come in and out of the garage at will. And she calls it the wildebeest.
Ooh.
That every once in a while, the cats just got to go out and have a taste a wildebeest. It's the funniest thing because we keep all the good stuff. You know, we've got our Purina Pro plan and our fancy feast and our nine lives and the Sheba, all the good food. That's what we feed them in the house. But every once in a while, the cat's meowing at that garage door. Gotta have some wildebeest. And they just, we don't touch it. They actually rip the bag open themselves. They stick their head in there and they just think it's the greatest thing.
That's why they have claws and
teeth. Yeah, yeah. So we... You know, and my wife's a veterinarian as well, and we don't see any health problems with this. We think it's a behavioral bonus that the cats are a little better behaved. Mm-hmm. They seem to be more content. You know, of course, we're reading all this into this because, you know, there are cats. But yeah, it's a known thing that if they have the opportunity, and it's a little bit of a challenge. And as you know, in your behavior work, sometimes that's how you solve some cat behavior problems, is you make the food a challenge for them.
Yes.
So don't be afraid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, make them hunt for their food.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got this problem where we got we have a number of patients who have urinary behavioral issues or aggression behavioral issues or clawing or biting. And the first thing I say is, I'll bet you feed your cat on the kitchen floor, don't you? And they're like, oh, Dr. Smith, how did you know that?
Oh, you're so psychic.
That's right. Yeah. And so I tell them, I'll tell you what. What's the highest point in your house that your cats can get to? Oh, I got this cat tree, or I've got this water heater, or I've got this... The weirdest one we had was a grandfather clock.
Whoa.
And I said, that's where you want to put your food. And you want to put it in two or three of them. And I said, if you can find a dozen places and just rotate it around, not in any order. You can't go in a pattern because the cats will get onto that. But if you can go in an irregular pattern and just move that food around every day, you're going to solve probably 70% of the weird behavior problems. And people look at me and they think, and I'm paying for this? Yeah, this guy's going to charge me for this wacky doodle advice. But again, we get very positive feedback, greater than 50% feedback that is either solves the problem or is, gets it close enough to where they don't care anymore.
Right. And that's the goal.
That's exactly right. Get it somewhere livable.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
So then the other question... Just slipped my mind.
That's all right. I know what it was going to be.
Oh, see, you're psychic. I knew
it. I know. It's just the cat in me. Because the burning question in everybody's mind, and now that we've hooked all the listeners on cat food today, they want to know, so what diet do we feed? You know, who do we buy from? Where do we get all this food? And that's what we're here to talk about. That's a big thing. Because 20 years ago, we could have said, go out and buy the most expensive cat food you can afford, and it's going to be good. Those days are gone.
Yep.
You can no longer do that because there are too many what we call in the profession, boutique diets, designer foods, whatever you want to call them, that are obscenely overpriced. And we as a profession do not believe that they're very high quality nutrition. And this upsets a lot of people, not necessarily the manufacturers, but the honest, good-hearted people who have a good income, and they want the best for their cat, which we fully support. And so they would love to pay $95 for a bag of cat food because it makes them honestly believe that they're doing a good job. Now, granted, it probably is fine for over half the cats out there that even a what we consider to be nutritionally lesser quality diet, it's not going to hurt them. But there are still that very, very small percentage of cats that, and I think the latest study was almost a dozen years ago, that they say it's less than 1%. Less than 1% of the cats out there are sensitive enough to these oddball foods to have urinary problems. Because as you know, that is the number one thing we worry about in male cats especially, but also in female cats. And it is diet driven. You know, the cat's body chemistry combined with the food is either going to create a healthy pH or an unhealthy pH. They're going to precipitate crystals. They're going to have inflammatory-based problems. And they're going to be in pain. They're going to be peeing all over the place. There's going to be blood. Yeah. Or if you're a male, they're going to get their penis plugged up. And now you're looking at a few thousand dollars in an emergency center to save the cat.
Yeah.
And the harsh reality is we see more of those with these designer boutique foods than we do with what we call the standard cat foods.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to me because the whole thing about diet in cats and urinary problems was really brought home to me. Because when I was in vet school, I made a point of learning how to do a perineal urethrostomy.
Oh, that? They were teaching that in those days?
Oh, yeah. That's how far back
go. Man, they wouldn't teach it to us.
Yeah. And see, then I got out in practice, and that's when the Hills CD diet came
in. Right,
and you put them on that, and you don't see them back.
No, they don't.
So I've never done one except for in school.
Yeah. I mean, we even now, because I graduated in 1989, and they weren't teaching it to us anymore, but they said, if you need it, you need to call a surgeon.
Right.
So I've probably called a surgeon 20 or 30 times in my career, but it was mostly in the 90s and shortly after the turn of the century into 2000s. I think I had one last year and maybe two the year before. And so far, 2024 is clean. We've not had that. We've not had to order that. We've got one we're watching. He's a nice little cat owned by a very nice family. And we're trying him on his third urinary food. But he hasn't called me this week, which is great news. So, and it's Friday, so I'm happy about that. So, yeah, there are still a few cats that are still head scratchers about why are they having these urinary problems even when they're eating proper foods.
Right.
Yeah. So can we talk brand names here? Are we allowed to do that on this show?
You know, I was thinking about that. I don't see why not.
Okay.
It's like we're not getting any kickbacks.
Okay, yeah, I wish.
I mean, the only kickback is that we don't see them. Just won't see the clients again.
Well, then let me just give the listeners a list here. This is what we have this printed out on paper when people come in with their new kittens or they just got a cat from the shelter or whatever it is. They're they're first timers.
Yeah.
They're the first time cat people. What do I feed my cat? Well, here's piece of paper. And we don't just give it to them. We actually read it through it with them. And in no particular order, what we are recommending are any of the Purina products. We like the Pro Plan line just a little bit better, but it's probably not that big of a deal. If it's made by Purina, it's a good quality food. We recommend the Science Diet products, which are the Hills products. We recommend the Royal Canin. They're French, you know.
Of course.
So, of course, they know everything about food. But they do. And it's tremendous. And I actually talked to some of their people in Italy. My wife was there for a conference a couple of years ago, and she let me come along.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, so she's off in boring old meetings, and I'm talking to the cat food people. Yeah, it was good times. But they have some diets that are available in Europe through the Royal Canin company that are not available in the United States. And so we talked about those. And they were urinary based. They were, but some of the ingredients apparently the USDA doesn't like them to put in. But we won't worry about that. And then the IAMs. And so really, Purina, Royal Canin, Science Diet, and IAMs. And what we tell people, and that's for your basic dry foods. If you feed those dry foods, then you are going to see a lot less of your veterinarian, regardless of what kind of a cat, and probably a dog. I don't know if it's the same in the dog world. I really don't. But that's the thing. And for canned foods, similar. All those four diets, but we also like, we like Fancy Feast. We like Friskies. I love Sheba, except for the packaging.
So I don't know, how is it packaged? Is that that little rip-off top?
Yeah, it's got that stupid plastic thing and this ridiculous foil top that you have to, I have to keep a tool handy to pull it off. And it's such a small amount of food. And so we tree huggers, we see this thing, and it's very upsetting to us. But we cannot deny the nutrition inside that package is probably the best canned food you will ever find.
Yeah.
We have solved so many skin and urinary problems in cats by just telling them, look, quit buying that cheap, crummy food at that crummy little store down the road and get them some Sheba. And they, of course, they're all shocked. Like, that packaging is horrible.
Yeah.
But the cats are just, it is a phenomenally high quality nutritional product. Okay. So anyway.
Well, what I'll do is I'm going to look into how we could recycle that Sheba packaging.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I go through a lot of it because I've got old cats and the one I said is on medication. So she gets her salmon Shiba every single night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fill up a garbage can with these things inside of 5 days. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah.
And I don't know. It might be one of those better plastics. I've just never looked into it. I don't know because I'm lazy. I just want my cats to be happy.
Exactly. And that's the main thing.
Yeah. And be well fed.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But, you know, we might also mention, Dr. Beal, where to get this stuff. Because, mm-hmm. we live in a very internet and computer-driven society now. And this may sound crackpot-ish, but we also tell all of our clients, do not buy anything for your cat, whether it's food, flea products, bedding, food dishes, collars, none of it. Buy none of it from Amazon.
Yeah.
Just avoid Amazon for anything for your cat. We have also reached that stage with Costco, which mm-hmm. we are sorry to say, because it's a good Northwest company and they're a good company, mm-hmm. but they don't put a lot of effort into controlling their food supplying, sourcing. I don't know what the mm-hmm. right word is.
Yep.
So we can no longer recommend Costco as a source.
Yeah. And I think it's the same for dog food.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so we like, and again, as much as our little anti-corporate hearts hate to admit it, we like Petco. We like PetSmart. Mm-hmm. Fred mm-hmm. Meyer is a good choice. Mm-hmm. Tractor Supply. Chewy.com.
Yeah.
So far, Chewy.com has not earned the ire of anyone in our profession. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, that's where I get my Pro Plan. I get my Purina Pro Plan for my cats from Chewy.
Well, that's where I get my cats' hairball treats.
Is that okay?
It's the only place I could find it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they do have a lot of weird stuff, mm-hmm. and it's a good source because they seem to always have it. So go for it. Yeah. And again, right now, we still like them, so if that changes, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll have to, you know, do a follow-up on
do a
all
follow-up,
of this.
Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
but so far they seem to be doing a very good job. Because when you're looking for buying food, you want to make sure, A, it's coming from the manufacturer, and that's why you can't trust Amazon, because mm-hmm. they have too many third-party vendors, you don't mm-hmm. know where this stuff comes from. Number two, you want it to be fresh, and so you want it to be turnover. So I still believe that under most circumstances, it's a little more work for you, but go to your veterinary office mm-hmm. because our turnover there is so fast that we always have fresh stuff, and it is a hassle. Go to the vet office, get the cat food, go home. What a pain. It is a super pain. But the truth is that everything that we have in there is less than 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And the companies all ship us their freshest product. And the stuff at Chewy, Tractor Supply, Petco, it's not going to be that much older.
Yeah.
But the veterinary stuff is typically going to be a little bit fresher. And the price is negligible. Mm-hmm. I don't think many of us mark it up sky high to where it's much more than what you're going to pay anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get the product because we get it directly from the manufacturer. Right. Royal Canin ships us their food. Purina ships us their food. Science Diet Hills, they mm-hmm. ship us their food. Same with IAMS. Everybody ships it directly to us from their own mm-hmm. manufacturing centers. So if you've got the time, get it from the veterinary office. If not, don't be afraid of Petco, PetSmart, Chewy.
But if they do go to your office and pay a little bit more, they're probably going to feel better about paying more because they love their cat.
We hope so. We hope so. And in many cases, at least in my office, the staff is always happy to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And they're pleasant and they're friendly. They let me work there. So it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
So it's a personal connection. But yeah, it is for some people with very, very busy lives, it can be a bit of a hassle.
Yeah.
Right. We get that.
But that's okay. You know, they do what they do.
Do what you need to do. Yep. You gotta take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one other question.
Yeah.
Is because we talked about urinary tract disease.
Yep.
Are there other diseases that are influenced by the diet?
Yeah. The three main organ systems that we focus on, I think is probably the best word, in the cat world, in order, are urinary, intestinal, and skin. Mm-hmm. So every single time a cat comes in where the person is worried about a urinary problem, a skin problem, or an intestinal problem of any kind, the very first question out of my staff's mouth is, what do you feed your cat? And the second question is, where do you buy it? And we cover that on every single visit for those things, because those are the three main organ systems that tend to be most sensitive to dietary issues. So if your cat's having a weird skin problem or a bit of an intestinal issue or a low-grade urinary thing, if it's high-grade, get it to the doctor. But if it's a low-grade urinary thing, try one of these better foods. Because the fun thing now is that a lot of those companies, especially the Pro Plan, they have over-the-counter foods specifically for digestive disturbances, urinary problems, sensitive skin, something like that. But that's the thing, is they're non-prescription. You could just go down to the Petco and buy them. Give them a try. You have nothing to lose. And sometimes you're not going to solve the whole problem, but you're going to get halfway there, and then we can help you get the other way. But those are the three main things. So, in fact, I'll tell you, my go-to over-the-counter digestive food is, I call it PPHB, Pro Plan Hairball. I have all long-haired cats. I don't know what has happened to me. My soul is lost. But I have these long-haired cats. And once I found out that they made this food, and we tried it, we went from having three or four hairballs every single week to now we have one or two every 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
So it's gone from being ridiculous to livable.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. We have all along. And when we do it, we comb them. We keep their fleas under control. We do all the stuff. But good gosh, they cough up those gross, disgusting hairballs. And then I always find them in my bare feet.
And the worst thing is when they don't cough them up.
Then they got to come see me.
When I was in practice, I did a post-mortem on a cat, and the hairball was twice as big as its stomach was supposed to be. And it was just sitting there for years.
Just sitting there, not going anywhere. We saw the same thing. It was like this 11-year-old cat. He just was non-thrifty. And we couldn't find anything wrong with him. And the people were so nice. We tried this. We tried that. We took an X-ray. I'm like, well, you know, because, you know, you can't always see the hairball on the X-ray. And I'm like, well, that stomach looks a little irritated. You know, let's try this. And then one day they came in. They were frustrated. And we were talking about what to try next. And all of a sudden, the cat started doing that thing from that Alien movie. You know, right there on the table. And I said, stand back. He's going to blow. And sure enough, this gargantuan hairball, I swear it was the size of a ferret, came up out of this cat. It landed with a splat in the corner of the exam room. And unfortunately, this was the days before digital photography. So I do not have an image of that. I'm so upset. But it was, ever since that day, cat was great.
I'm fine now.
Got rid of it. So it's a thing. And this the IAMS also makes a good hairball diet. But the Pro Plan is my favorite. It's easier to get. You find it at more locations. And they make a canned version.
Oh.
I think it's got two or three different flavors out there. So we do like it, and again, we recommend it as your go-to for whatever. Cats puking, cats having diarrhea, cats having digestive issues of some kind. Try the Pro Plan Hairball. It's probably your best over-the-counter, non-prescription GI food out there.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Craig Smith, owner of the Tacoma Cat Hospital. We've been talking about diets for cats.
So are the hairballs related to megacolon?
I don't think so, but that's an excellent question. We see a few of these cats that develop megacolon, but when I've dissected out the turds, because we will actually go in there and mechanically extract those turds.
We should probably back up and say what megacolon is.
Sure. Megacolon. Yeah, that's where the colon, which is just before it gets to the rectum, so just as the poop is being prepared for passage, it just becomes large, like sometimes 2 inches in diameter, and it dries out, and it has this brick inside of this colon. The cat cannot defecate. And so we have to anesthetize the animal, go up the rear end with forceps, break it down, and pull it out and clean them out. And then every time we do it, we dissect it out because we want to know what's inside this thing. I will occasionally find small wads of hair. But most of the time, it's just regular cat poop that has looks like it's been sitting out in the sun, and it's just hard as a rock.
Dehydration?
Well, we think that's a factor too, but from what little I've read about it, because it's not a real common disorder, they think the cat just has some sort of problem with either the nerves or the muscles within the colon itself.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah, or it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's a defective colon, and there are surgeons that will remove the colon for your cat. They don't have to wear a bag, thank goodness. They just reroute the plumbing.
Yeah.
And we do see a number of cats where if we keep them on high doses of a variety of laxatives, they do okay. Mm-hmm. And others where every 6 months, they bring them into me and we clean them out.
Oh, man.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's been one of the cases that sticks in my mind from
clinic
days. Oh, it was horrid.
Yeah. They are upsetting. Yeah, the most dramatic one we had was this nice girl. She was probably 20-something.
Ooh.
Yeah, and she was living on her own, but she had a very good relationship with her dad.
Oh, you're talking about the owner.
Yeah, the owner. Yeah, the owner. She was a 20-something.
So the cat wasn't 20 years old.
No, the cat was probably only 3 or 4. Very young cat.
Okay.
And this is a girl. I don't know what the proper terminology is in 2024, but she was a girl that was probably to some degree developmentally disabled. And I don't know if that's the correct term, but that's what I'm trying to say here. Mm-hmm. But she was doing her very best to live on her own and take care of life. And her dad would come with her when the cat was ill. And when I saw it for the first time, it was because it had been to 2 other doctors and they didn't know what to do with this thing. Mm. Well, we x-rayed it. And sure enough, this thing had essentially a giant brick in its intestines. Ugh. So we talked to her and we talked to her dad, and I said, there's only one way we're going to fix this, and that's surgery. I mean, we can't reach up in the back end and break this down. It's too hard and it's too big. And I said, and from then on, this cat is going to have to eat high doses of laxatives. And so they talked about it briefly because, you know, I wasn't sure they were going to want to go that far with it. But they did, and we did the surgery, and I'll never forget the sound of those turds hitting the floor or the garbage can or whatever. It was amazing.
Clunk, clunk, clunk,
clunk, clunk. But this girl, I'm telling you what, I have never seen anyone do such a good job taking care of an animal after a major surgical procedure. We listed everything out. We wrote it all down. We typed it up, put it on a piece of paper, and said, here are the things you need to do. Here are the things the cat needs to eat. And that cat was fine for 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
It was amazing. So we were so happy to see that because she was a very determined person, and she just wanted to take good care of her animal.
Yeah.
And I think her dad did a good job because I think he was looking out for her to make sure that she wasn't going to get swindled by somebody, which that's the dad's job,
no,
right?
You bet.
And it was this all around a very positive thing. And when the cat finally passed away, it was from something else. It wasn't related to its colon problem.
Sure.
So it was a very positive thing. But yeah, that mega colon situation, nobody really knows much about it. I only see it in my practice maybe 3 or 4 times a year. It's not a huge problem. But with the different foods out there now and the variety of laxatives from the human side that you can just get over the counter, many of those cats can live pretty well as long as they're willing to eat foods that have those products mixed in.
Right. So one other disease I want to ask you about, and I don't know if this is diet related or not, but is hyperthyroidism.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. Yeah. You know, if your cat lives long enough, it's either going to have failing kidneys or hyperthyroidism or, heaven forbid, both.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're aware of this. About 25 years ago, the United Kingdom, Scotland, England, and Wales especially, they were having, the veterinarians were saying, we're seeing more hyperthyroid cats than we've ever seen before and at young ages. And they actually figured out that it was because of one of their main food was made in one place, but it was packaged somewhere else in metal tins. And they found out that they were using metals that were negatively affecting the food, and these cats were all beginning hyperthyroidism. And they solved the problem. But again, it was a closed system. It was on an island, right?
Yes.
And so they were able to do that because they tried to port the same information in the United States. It's not going to work. And so there's just too much going on. The United States is too big. We share a lot with Canada, and we share a lot with Mexico when it comes to cat foods. And so it's just too difficult to really nail that down. But I know that the companies that are still, they paid attention to it. And they said, well, here, they decide they stopped using these alloys and used those alloys. And for all we know, that's why Sheba's using these weird plastic containers. I don't know, but I know that Sheba's great food. So I don't think that there is a connection, but I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I can say I see more hyperthyroid cats now in 2024 than I ever saw in the 90s.
Really?
Ever. And so I don't know. Is it the boutique foods? Is it the manufacturing? Is it the genetics? Are cats inheriting genes for hyperthyroidism, even though they're all strays? Well, most of them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we certainly don't see this in a lot of the purebred populations.
Okay.
We don't. Okay. But there is a question of if that's a component. Mm-hmm. Is that for some reason are we living in a time where the cats are more genetically predisposed to that? Because we certainly see more than we ever used to, and it's a real pain.
Yeah,
it's a real pain because they're hard to treat.
Yeah, because you know the reason I ask is of course very personal, but I had two cats when I was in vet school. Okay. And so, again, at that point, our finances were not that good. So
right.
We got the old cheapo food.
Yeah.
And so then we, after vet school, we moved, you know, finally got a job, you know, started treating them and feeding them a little bit better. But they both turned out at about 14 years old to be hyperthyroid.
Sure.
And so I wondered if there was something connected with that early feeding.
Right.
That might have made both of them.
That's a great question.
Some environmental thing?
Right. And that's what we worry about here in Pierce County.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an environmental thing? Do we see more of it here than other parts of the country? And I don't know. I've got a conference seminar thing I'm going to in a couple more weeks. And I'm hoping we get to talk about it because this sort of thing is very interesting, and that's how we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, no one that I know of has made a positive correlation between diet, but it makes good sense.
Yeah, because that's not a happy disease either.
No, it's frustrating. I got a thyroid cat right now, and it's, you know, she loves her salmon Sheba every night, but I'm putting medication into it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So there you go.
Anything else that you want to
Well, add? I think the only other thing that I think would be good to know is that there are still good cases where legitimate prescription food, which is quite a bit more money than anything else, are what the cat is going to need, and sometimes for the rest of his life. For instance, the best life-changing food out there are these kidney foods. If your cat is getting old enough to where its kidneys are not as effective as they used to be, then yeah, you need to stop what you're doing and do everything you can to convert that cat over to a kidney food.
Mm-hmm.
I think of all of the prescription foods out there, that is the most life-saving, life-changing food for any animal.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what those nutritional scientists were able to figure out because... I mean, I can't even, I've been watching this for over 30 years, and I still can't believe sometimes what I see with my own eyes, this poor, pathetic creature. And I tell him, listen, I'm sorry, you know, if you can't get her to eat this kidney food, she doesn't have much longer to go. And 6 months later, they bring me in this beautiful, robust thing that's trying to rip my face off. And I'm like, is this the same cat? And like, yes, she was willing to eat the kidney food. They put on weight, their coat gets better, they feel better.
Yeah.
So really, that's a life-saving thing. And we get a lot of pushback from people. And I don't know why, but if that's one thing, if that's one message I'd like to get out there is that if you get an aging cat that's looking like it's got kidney problems, just do not stop until you've tried every single kidney food you can get. And that's the prescription stuff, not this weird, flaky... Mm-mm. Rachel Ray kidney food, you know. You'll get the Science Diet, because really only three companies make prescription foods anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Science Diet helps people make prescription foods, Royal Canin makes prescription foods, and Purina makes prescription foods. All those are only available through your veterinarian, and those are important if there's a kidney situation going up. And then the second thing is everybody wants to know about this. I can't believe neither one of us thought of this until now. The homemade diet.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. The people that drive Subarus, you know, they
well, you know, I had a student once who was saying, because we were talking about diet, says, well, I want to have a vegetarian diet for my cat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, eggs. Okay. Well, it has to be vegan. And it's like, no.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I've actually politely told people mm-hmm. that I won't help them because mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. The cats need to eat dead animals.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. Their nutritional needs are that way.
Well, you know, I think you might have said this. I've heard this before from veterinary nutritionists. The best diet for a cat is a mouse.
It is. It is. And that was discovered in Canada right in the mid to late 90s. And it was a fascinating study. What they did is they took these mice, they humanely did that cervical thing, you know, that neck mm-hmm. thing you do with a pencil. And then they just took that whole body, popped it into a blender, hit it a couple times, and just fed it to the cats.
Yep.
And I went to one of their inaugural lectures and they said, oh, yeah, we had a lot of our staff quit because it wasn't preparing the food. It was when they took the food into the cats. The cats would just rush them.
Yeah,
you know, like it was an Alice Cooper concert or something.
Yeah,
and they just wanted it. And so the obvious question is, why can't you just make it? Yeah. Why can't you just grind up a mouse and stick it in a can mm-hmm. and sell it?
Yep.
Apparently you can't, which I still don't understand, but whatever. And so, because that the thing, we had one, I can only remember one. We probably had more than one. One urinary cat, it was years ago, but we tried a patient in our hospital. Those people tried everything, every single prescription urinary food out there. This cat could not pee. Mm-hmm. He could not pee regardless. But once he started eating Pinkies.
Yes.
You know what Pinkies are, Dr. Beal?
I fed Pinkies to my cat.
You do? Okay. Well, I'll let you go from there if you want to tell your listeners what those are. But once they found out that if they took that Pinky, cut it in half, and put some butter all over it, the cat would eat them. And ever since that day, he never had another urinary problem.
Yeah.
So,
well, I had one cat was, all sorts of things and diabetic and, you know, just voracious anyway.
Yeah.
And so I got Pinkies, which are actually, you can get them at Petco and PetSmart for your snakes and reptiles and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah.
So I bought one for
my
cat.
You gotta tell them what they are. Come on.
Oh, they're baby mice.
Yeah, unborn baby mice.
Yeah, someone described them as, they look like erasers.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
So anyway, so this little pink baby mouse, I bought one to see. And I took it home when I was at the counter. My cat jumped up and go, what you got? And so I was going to open it to see what it looked like. You know, okay, does this really look like
a mouse? Dissect it? Yeah.
And so I peeled open the package a little bit. She took her claw and went, snapped, and just right in her mouth. I didn't even see it.
Yeah. Crazy,
and
isn't
she
it?
Loved them.
Yeah.
And so I ordered them from a lab company.
Yeah.
And she lived for a year on those.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sure here in the state of Washington, there's somebody out there raising mice mm-hmm. to feed their cats.
Mm-hmm.
I have made it my own personal goal to find that person. So if you're listening, call me at Tacoma Cat Hospital in Fircrest. I want to talk to you. I want to meet you. I want to get a selfie.
Yep.
And because it's a real thing. And mm-hmm. you don't hear it much anymore. But when it comes to making your own homemade foods from other sources, it's hard to recommend that because, mm-hmm. again, you want to get a balanced nutritional product. And because this one guy said, you know, man, I just went and bought a rotisserie chicken from Albertsons and grilling that sucker up. You know how much money I'm saving on cat food? Like, yeah.
But how much are you saving on vet bills?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's really healthy.
Because the mouse, you know, it has the protein, the muscle and the fat and whatnot.
And the skull.
Yeah, the bones and the calcium and the phosphorus in the correct proportion.
Yeah, and if they've got a nice belly full of grain, that's even better. Because everybody's always like, you know, I want to feed a grain, feed food to my cat. And those are the people we really don't want to have anything to do with.
Yeah.
We don't believe in grain-free diets. Because they did say that when they were lecturing us about these things. You want to make sure these mice have had a full meal before you off them and blenderize them, because those grains are also an important part of the cat's micronutrient needs.
Right.
So there you go. So that's how you can make your own homemade food.
Yeah.
Get yourself a shed, start raising some mice. Rock on.
Okay. Well, gosh, I might have to think about that.
You know? Yeah, I know. I do too. I think about it all the time.
I need another career. Well, thank you so much. This has been fun.
It has been fun. I've enjoyed being here. I appreciate you inviting me.
You've been listening to a conversation with me and Dr. Craig Smith about cats and their food. And now for the answer to the bonus question. Remember what it was? Here it is. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. Every wife had 7 sacks. Every sack had 7 cats. Every cat had 7 kits. Kits, cats, sacks, wives. How many were going to St. Ives? Well, just one. That was me.
Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems.
This is Dr. Louisa reminding you,
they ain't misbehaving, they're just behaving.
I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.